everybody, and welcome back to the Old Moon Podcast, episode 75.
Wow, you got it.
I was not pausing because I didn't know. I was pausing because I wanted the appreciation for getting it right. It's important to me that you believe that. Yeah. Episode 75, I'm your host, Blue Squadron, joined as always by my co-hosts. Let's go Blonde Bear.
Hello, I'm Blondbear. You can catch me at twitch.tv/Blondbear. You can catch me doing Dark Secrets Retreat or other group grind spots, sometimes doing the boss blitzes, and, just doing my usual chilling and grinding.
Right on. And my boy, Jaycoon VT.
Hi, my name is Jaycoon VT. I've been doing a lot of party boss blitz lately. We've been trying to push leaderboards with Rayrar and Blondbear, and I've also been waiting very patiently for Path of Exile 2 Early Access on December 6th. And you can find me live over at twitch.tv/JaycoonVT before the T.
Maybe we should do a podcast for that too.
Oh.
That would be crazy. Yeah, we're all very excited for that. All right, so we have some... It's been a couple weeks since we got together, but that means that we have a lot more to talk about. Okay, so the first thing we're going to do is we're going to talk about what just happened yesterday night. Is Probus dropped a new teaser for their class, and I just want to point out, I was right, okay? Chris Polly was also 30% correct, all right? So to give him... Chris Polly always speculates about what the new class is going to be, but he always gives us sounds and all kinds of other stuff, like ChatGPT stuff, which is just obnoxious, but... He was right. It is a gunslinger class in this case. And that's because the developers told us this was going to be a gunslinger class, but you just never know. In this case, it is confirmed. We know that it's going to have a handgun and a shotgun of some kind. Mm-hmm. So very, very exciting. Definitely cowboy-esque, America kind of class. You know what I mean? So America. Mm-hmm. We got guns coming up in here. We got a cowboy. How do you guys feel about a cowboy-style gunslinging class? In BDO, we'll start with Jay.
I mean, for the majority of BDO, it's mostly been like fantasy elements, you know, like knights, castles, magic. And, you know, I honestly thought it was going to be more similar to like Marnie when they dropped that Marnie teaser, right? Like the video was trying to explain like why we have certain technological advancements in BDO, and you know, Marnie, I think a lot of us have already put together that he's the one who invents and creates these things, and the video did a really good job of like, you know, giving us more of what we're gonna expect, right? And you know, with the timing of the teasers and the videos and Calpheon Ball around the corner, right, I think it's safe to say that we're getting it right after Calpheon Ball. That's kind of like the scheduling, right? And so yes, the weapons, the shotgun, the revolver, it's, you know, it's very Western American vibes. It's giving cowboy, you know, very rugged, tough. Those are the adjectives. It's reminding me of, you know, the two Overwatch characters, Ashe and McCree or Cassidy with the shotgun and revolver. And when I think of revolver, I think of those like typical Western cinematic, intense, like, you know, those quick draw moments. And with the shotgun, I think it might have more of like a close range playstyle, just based off those, you know, those things. I'm wondering if it will incorporate any magical elements, because this is BDO, or maybe they just might stick with just, you know, just physical raw power. It's very different from what we're used to in BDO, you know, with the usual knights, castles, swords, bows, magic. But yeah, it's definitely a really exciting direction, and I think it will be a very popular class.
Yeah, I think it's definitely the most controversial class that they've tried to release in BDO, but we'll get into that here. Blonde, what are your initial impressions on like this Cowboy America revolver shotgun style class?
Listen, there ain't nothing much more American than a revolver. On top of that, having two guns, your shotgun and your revolver, I think PA's finally starting to listen to who the real audience of their video game is, you know, investors.
Their video game.
Their dang video games, you know. They know who they're pandering to, and they know who's going to be playing in the Wild West.
You must do the entire podcast in a Southern accent now. You've committed. You've committed to it. I think that
started it, finish it.
Yeah. So I'm thinking two things about this new class. One, I'm really excited for it, but I'm always excited for new classes in general, but it represents my country and a little bit more of my culture, when the last like 2 years of BDO have been Korean culture. Woo. And that was fun for like the first, like, you know, few months. Right. But then like 2 years happened and we were still on this Land of the Morning Light hype train, and we're like, okay, can we get something else? So a healthy dose of Western culture, I think, is pretty fun. However, I think that's kind of a hot take. I think that a lot of people, like I said, this is a super controversial class, because I think that a lot of people think it doesn't fit in BDO's kind of theme and BDO's overall like set. You know what I mean? Like, and it doesn't, like, to be clear, mm-hmm. like normally they would never do something like this, but about a year and a half ago, or I guess a little over a year ago now, they were really struggling with their player base, to like branch out and do different content. And what a lot of players in Korea had asked for was a gunner class. And like their resistance to it for a while was exactly what a lot of players are fighting on it now, is that it just doesn't fit the setting and the theming of BDO, but they begrudgingly gave it to us, right? And they think that it kind of helps fix that aspect of the player base. I think, although I actually am excited for the new class because I'm a Western player and I love my guns, America. But like, I think that so many new problems have sprung up with the community that I don't think any sort of new class is going to fix it. And so like, I do think that the new class is exciting. It's definitely more controversial than normal classes. No question. I think that some people are very vehemently against it, as opposed to like something like, I don't know, Corsair or even Sage, right? Where like, even if you didn't want to play Sage, mm-hmm. you weren't against them introducing Sage, right? There are people that definitely stand on one side of the fence or the other in this case. That's not a super good thing. And the game also has much bigger problems right now, but like, I'm very excited for it. I'm curious what an awakening looks like for this. If they're switching between, mm-hmm. like you said, I think that they modeled it basically after Ashe from Overwatch. If you look at her, cause she's mm-hmm. got like that shotgun, like reload kind of thing going on. You also said that there's not much Marnie in here. I actually disagree. I think that you can actually tell that it's Marnie tech based on what's on the revolver. You notice mm-hmm. that there's no holes for bullets on the gun, on the revolver itself. And if you look really closely, you can see like the eye and stuff here. This is very Marnie-ish style tech.
Okay.
And I think that like, time to draw some constellations with Lee. Yeah, I don't know. It's some of the stuff I'm not sure how to interpret, but it definitely looks a little bit like the Marnie was a teaser. And I just want to say that a lot of people in the comments were like, Blue, you're wrong. Blue, you're not right. Because I made a short about it before and I was like, this is teasing the new class. And everyone was like, no, you're not. Chris Paul, like, you got on Chris Pauly and then Chris you're going to speculate like this? Like, what are we talking about? I'm like, no, guys, I was right. Okay, I was right. They were wrong. I'm just going to say it. It is what it is. But like, how do you guys feel? Are you guys going to play like the gunner class? Jay, I'll start with you. Jay, you going to play it?
Hold on. Okay. Look here. Listen. 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 It's just a cultural revolution, okay? We've been through the fantasy ages, and after that was the cowboy ages, okay? You know? Guns come and go. It's just the way it is. Now it's time. Quarter 3 came out. They saw how big of a chunk NAEU was, and they said, "All right. Dadgum, we're going to give them what they want." Gonna give them what they asked for. Mm-hmm. It's gonna be fun. You're gonna be shooting and tooting everywhere. What's better than that?
Caught shooting and tooting everywhere.
Shooting and tooting. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jay, are you gonna play it or no? Is it gonna make you log in?
Definitely.
Because you have not been playing,
definitely,
right?
I'll definitely make a season for it and then try it out. But okay, people keep calling it like very like Western theme, but like maybe it'll just go in a very different aesthetic direction. Again, like we did get teased with the Marnie, and Marnie has always been what, like steampunk, right? Very steampunk mechanical like aesthetic with him. So he might not even be Western. He might just be that kind of aesthetic that we've seen in like, you know, traditional media about like steampunk stuff, right? So like the top hat, the vest, right, with the dress shirt, dress pants, that kind of, it's kind of like that one, you know, that one Halloween outfit, the Marnist mm-hmm. outfit, kind of like that kind of theme. That's kind of like what I'm thinking he might be, because he is tied to Marnie in some way, in some form. So
yeah, I mean, like, I think that it is tied to Marnie. I think it's going to be a lot of fun to play. I do think it is definitely out of place. And if I don't get to shoot guns from the back of my horse, I'm going to be disappointed. Also, if there's no lasso involved at this point, like, I'm going to be a little upset about that. The offhand could very well be a lasso or something that they hold on their hip. That'd be interesting. Speaking of hip, do we think that it's a female or a male?
I'm kind of leaning towards female. Just mm-hmm. because BDO.
Yep.
Period.
Right. And Blonde, which one do you think it's going to be?
Now, I'm praying for them dwarves, you know? We still ain't got a dwarf class. We got one short one. Nobody likes them. We're getting rid of them. One short one. But we need a dwarf one. That Too many. Listen, there ain't nothing wrong with a cowgirl, but you know we've been praying for a dwarf for a long time. So now's about time.
He's committed to this accent.
Oh, bro, he is committed, and I love it. Yeah, so I think that I think it's gonna be female, because I think if it's not female, people are gonna riot in the streets.
Dadgummit.
I do. I think that if it's not female, people are just gonna get super giga pissy. And I think that, like, what Blonde Bear is looking for, he's looking for like a Rav the Avatar situation. With a dwarf with a gun. If you any of you saw the Rav's like hardcore series for a while, he played a hunter. He played a hunter and he was playing a dwarf. And yeah, I don't think we're not getting this as a dwarf.
Listen,
it's not happening.
Not happening. The hammer went to a girl. The gun's gonna go to a boy, right?
No,
come on.
Surely
that hammer should have went to a dwarf. It was stolen. Stolen valor. Now we're taking our guns back. It's going to the dwarves.
No. The funny thing is, they said that they were going to. They legitimately said that they were going to give us like dwarf classes and elf and like branch out, right? Like any other, like the Papu Otter classes were not out of the realm of possibility. In this case, I don't think that they're going to be doing that. You know, they said that years ago. And I don't think we're going to get it again. Go ahead.
Do you guys know, okay, this just popped into my head, but do you guys know Toshi, right? Wacky Toshi, Marnie's greatest assistant. Did you know Toshi is actually, like, he's supposed to be, like, a robot. Like, that was, like, Marnie's invention. He's not actually, like, a fox.
And yeah, so no, it's actually a robot. I didn't even know that until they said it in the movie. I was like, wait, what?
I know. That's
I've been
what
talking
he
about.
Said. So maybe that's the class. We're playing Toshi or, like, some sort of mechanical invention from Marnie or something like that. Listen.
The dwarves made the Zerker cannon. They deserve the guns and the shotguns. They've earned it. They are working with Marnie, and they created these bigger mechanical weapons, more refined, more precise. It's the dwarves. I'm telling you, there ain't no way they're gonna give it to a cowgirl over a dwarf.
No, it's a human, and she's gonna be super thick too.
I guarantee you
it's going to be some super hot girl. Like, it's going to be like Dark Knight meets a cowboy style thing. And in fact, we have...
Agum shame.
We have the Pila Fey outfit. It's a lesser known outfit, but there is an outfit on classes like Dark Knight, if I can find it.
Oh, yeah. The Western Pila Fey
outfit. Yep, there it is. There it is. Yeah. So, like... I'm hoping that they do a better cowboy hat than this, though, because this cowboy hat's kind of, it's leaving me wanting in this case. I'm also curious is this going to be an awakening class? A lot of people in chat said it was going to be Ascension. I would actually agree with that assessment, considering that they teased two weapons out the get-go. I do not.
That's true.
It's possible that the shotgun is the main hand and the handguns are the offhand.
That's what I was also thinking.
Yeah, but like, what does an awakening look like in this case? What are we thinking awakening actually looks like? I'm curious. Blonde, what you thinking down yonder?
I'm thinking it's Ascension. It's the only thing that makes sense, right? You got your pea shooter and you got your shotgun, right? Main hand and your quote unquote awakening, you're ascending through, and your offhand just gonna be your belt. What's gonna hold your guns? It's gonna be the belt, right? It's a holster for the guns. It's going to be Ascension. It's the only one that makes sense. It just goes right through.
I do think it's going to be Ascension. However, I think that if it's Awakening, I was kind of hoping that I would get to roll up in one of these. Maybe painted red, white, and blue American flag tank looking.
Isn't that what the Corsairs for? They got the goddamn cannonball coming up on their awakening. We already got that.
Look, it's possible.
It's already in.
We have not explored the possibility that it is a robot. Because they did tease, like Jaekoon said, that the fox is now a robot, right? This could be a robot too. The question is it going to be a male robot or a female robot?
All right. They do a main hand shotgun, an offhand pea shooter. They got an awakening robot. You turn into a robot. You go in a giant mechanical suit. One of them Mog Docs, you know, from the Halloween events. I'm getting a big old robot suit. Yeah, I can see that.
I don't know, dude. I think a cyborg is just... That is way out of left field. I'll be honest. If they make it a robot, and it's like a robotic, you know, like, because you know it's going to be female. It's going to have boobs. Like, I don't... Like, how are you supposed to... I don't know how you fit that into the BDO like theme. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like if it, at least it was like an elf or a human, I guess it can't be an elf. It's going to have to be a human. Like you could kind of make a case for it. I think that making it a robot is kind of a step too far, but like maybe they could do, yeah, they could do like a steampunk style robots. That's got like gears and cog wheels. And that would be kind of interesting. And we've never seen them do like a new race before. Like we said, like before they used to tease Papus and Otters, and I'd rather have a robot than that. I would play it. It would be sick. But like also a cyborg is just kind of like way out in left field. You know what I mean? So, all right. So I think we've talked enough about this. I think that the next thing that we want to discuss is the fishing changes are kind of crazy. The fishing changes are literally insane. So I'm curious, Jay and Blonde, I forgot to ask you this before, but like I've been tracking your like playing the gameness, and like I've seen Blonde logging in a little bit. Jay, how much have you been playing the game in the last 2 weeks or so? Be honest with us.
I actually kind of want to say maybe like 10 hours over the last week, just like active playing. It's just like miscellaneous things. A lot of it has just been AFKing stuff, but again, as I mentioned before, I've been doing a lot of like party boss splits. Like earlier we did like a 4 hour session earlier, just doing boss splits in the morning.
Yes, sir.
Trying to push leaderboards and stuff like that. So that's been most of my active time is the boss split stuff, but mostly passive, just like doing the fishing and stuff. So like this fishing updates has been like a godsend some extra passive income.
So you are logging in. So this is an improvement from the last podcast, because the last podcast you're like, yeah, I haven't logged in like at all. And now you're like, okay, now I'm logging in. It's a little more passive. It's a lot of fishing. My active time is the guild boss splits, and then I go back to fishing for the most part. So the fishing change has been impactful, right? For a lot of players, I think they are logging in now because the fishing changes have come through. And like this is a point that I'm going to allude to later, which is why I'm asking about your activity level now. Blonde, how's your activity doing? Because before you said you were kind of starting to play a little bit more with Karazhan, and you liked Karazhan. How are you feeling now?
Fantastic. I've been grinding my butt off, okay? From dawn till dusk, I'm grinding up and down. Now that I got these sovereign weapons, we can tap at least twice a day, depending on how long I grind. It's only a handful of krons. I almost pitied out my level 6. I got about 24 attempts in there, and I got it. That's nice. Now I'm about 10 to 20 attempts on my sep. I've almost got that. But it's nice. I like it. I can grind, you know, 2 hours a day, maybe three, maybe four on my days off, and buy a bunch of krons from the vendor and just click away. Pretty nice. I'm having a good time. And if you're looking at them leaderboards, yeah, my guild's in the top 3 almost every week, usually, depending on if someone gets lucky, you know, someone tapping their deck. Yeah, what am I going to do?
And,
you know, they're, you know, they're, sorry, sir, their X weapon. And, you know, so we've been grinding that out. It's been a lot of fun. We just got Jay in our group, and we improved every single one of our times by a pretty numerable amount. And we got further on our deposed Crown Prince attempts than we've done in the previous week. So it's doing pretty good. We're going to be down in that probably next week.
As well. Okay. Have you done a new one?
We did do the new Bi-Hyun boss. That guy was annoying.
Oh, really? Yeah. How'd that go? Did you like it?
The fight concept is cool, but obviously since it's only been out a week, they ain't got the bugs fixed, and there is a lot of what feels like bugs. Sometimes you hit the guy and he does... So the way the mechanic works is you gotta hit the guy if you're the right color that's called out in the middle of the fight, and then he hits you, and then you gotta lower your health, and then you pass the mechanic. Sometimes, though, it just don't hurt you. You evade it. I guess your evasion takes it, so... I don't know what you do at that point. You just gotta sit there and lose and go back in. But we did get an attempt through and we did get it done. It's just a little buggy, but hopefully they figure it out in a week or two and then we don't have to worry about that. You know, hey, listen, that's the cost of getting content week one, right? We ain't getting the bug fixes on week two or three, so.
You know, we didn't talk about this much. Damn it. We didn't talk about We didn't talk about this much, but do you think
Good attempt.
I don't want to use the Southern accent. Yeah, it's infectious. It is. It's ridiculous. It's like my Trump accents. You just slide right into it. In there. It's crazy. I'm curious if the new class will have a Southern accent. You know what I mean? Like that would be interesting. Nice Southern
maybe
girl.
They did it with the Land of the Morning Light with the accents that the main character Scholar. Did that's following us in the quest line. They did it. Also Scholar's got her own, accent, so it's definitely possible.
Yeah, she's Irish.
Yeah. So my point with all this is that so your activity is improving, right? So whereas before you weren't playing the game at all, either of you, the developers have made changes to the game that has they brought Blonde back to the game. That was mainly the Karazhan. Blonde doesn't sound like you're doing much fishing.
Wait, hold on there. Listen, it is a smart thing that they doubled, if not tripled, the cost of all the AFK fishing. I mean, it's way long overdue, but they probably saw nobody's logging in and their daily logging count's low, and their probably all-time highs are based on AFK and active people playing at the same time. I wasn't even AFK logging for the last, I don't know, daggum 6 months or something, but I decided to because they buffed all that, and then we also got the Cat 2 surety events, and I want to get all the things, so, you got to do what you got to do, but... I've been doing the AFK fishing, but I ain't doing the Hakoven stuff. I'm too stupid to figure that out. Someone told me about it today. They said they made a bill fishing. I was like, I'm making 100 million happy with a smile on my face.
Wait, what are you confused about? What's the...
Well, I didn't know about it. Nobody told me. And then you got a map, and then you got to go to Land of the Morning Light. Then you got to sail there, go back, map. It's just too confusing for me.
You have a map, right?
Listen, I don't know. I don't even... It's just too much, right? It's like when you do them dungeons and they tell you to do the key method where you swap to your alts and then you gotta swap back. Too much for me.
A certain YouTuber made a short about this that explains it in 1 minute. It's literally insanely easy. It's a joke, but Jacob's gonna explain it right now. Go ahead, Jake.
For viewers who haven't been doing this already, just if you have the archaeologist mod, that's a big quality of life for it because you can just immediately teleport back. So have your below 49, make sure you're on a cog because you can still get sunk on a Karak due to some exploit that I want to explain. So just be on a below 49 alt with an archaeologist map. If you have extra inventory space, do so and go over to Hakoven. And then you have to be in a very specific, like crescent shaped line. I don't know why, just basically fish where everybody else is fishing. And then once you're done, just map back to Valencia using archaeologist. Use the well, go to...
Okay, but where even is Hakoven? Who's going to tell me about that? Who's going to...
North of Arihaza.
Okay, what's an Arihaza?
On the east. Arihaza is the... Okay, it's northeast of Valencia. Just like look northeast of Valencia. There's
this, in the desert?
Island.
How do you not know where this is? You've been playing this game for 7 years. What are you talking about?
Is there any monsters on this Hakoven island?
No,
it ain't a grinding
it's
island.
Still fishing in the ocean.
How am I gonna know about that? All the events they put in the dang town.
If you watch somebody's,
they put all the events in the towns. Yeah. How am I supposed to go out to some random island?
But that's it. It's just map back to Valencia. Use the well. Trade in your fish at Land of Morning Light. The distance bonus is pretty big. You don't have to connect it as well. There's no need to connect it. And then just archaeologist map back to where you were, and then repeat.
Blonde.
That's because they remove trading. That's why that don't work. That's why you don't have to connect.
No.
Because they
remove
trading. Trading ain't been the game. We ain't got that no more. It's gone.
No.
They said reworking how many months ago?
That there's for active. Damn it. That is for active trading. Active trading was removed from the game. Fishing, believe it or not, the distance bonus for fishing wasn't a thing for a long time. They just basically made it so that you got maximum...
Listen, if I'm pressing W, it's active, okay? If I gotta walk, that's me being active. What do you mean?
Well, this being said, the distance bonus for fishing is working, and you can now join the, you can like go through the Magnus with your fish, which is why this works. So you're basically maximizing the fishing distance, and the red fish are worth like 8 million silver apiece when you fish them up, which means with the distance bonus and the bargaining bonus, you're looking at over 80 million a fish for the red fish, just by themselves. This is excluding the prize fish and everything else that you're going to be getting, and also the relic crystal shard drop rate and everything, and it's always abundant out there as well, which is really good. So like, again, you're talking about, I say I make consistently like 600 or 700 million a night or so, with making a roughly like 1.2 to 1.5 billion a day. And I don't catch prize fish very often. Some people are catching prize fish and they make 3 or 4 billion in a day. Fishing.
You'll need really
insane.
High mastery to make the most of it. What's your mastery blue right now?
1800 and like 15 or something. So like
1800. Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty high. But like you don't really need crazy high mastery, although it helps. That higher mastery means you're gonna you're gonna catch more fish, right? Which brings me to my next point, and that's why I advertised this, because somebody told me about it, and I originally wasn't necessarily going to say anything, and then the developers introduced the new pay-to-win backpack, which is what we're going to talk about next.
Yeah,
we'll get into that in a second, which gives 100 mastery. I want to be clear that 100 mastery doesn't really matter for anything fishing, but as long as you can be above about 12, 1300 mastery, get some Logia, get a fishing chess piece, and then use a sturdy Krios fishing chair. Like, the blue fishing chair is a lot better than the green one because it has a lot more durability on it. But like, as long as you're doing that, you should be fine. And you'll be catching a lot of fish. And as long as you're, you know, executing it properly and fishing where everybody is. Sometimes people throw their rod into the water in the wrong spot. Like, you can't be sitting on the side. You have to be right in the middle. But like, it's really good. I mean, we went from AFK fishing overnight before this change. Used to be like 80 million a night tops. Like that.
Yeah.
No, not even 80. I would say it was like 50 or 60 million tops. It was not as good as horse training was by far. Yeah. Horse training was by far just way better. And like, unless there was an event going on, you really didn't want to AFK fish overnight. Then after this, it's all people want to do. Like, everyone's logging in to just AFK fish because it's like the easiest money you've ever made in the entire game. Like, I can basically just, if I wanted to, I can just flip BDO open twice a day, flip it open, do the map to town thing, which takes like 2.5 minutes or so. To get all the way to land of the morning light, sell the fish, and then just map back, boom, done. If you have an archaeologist map, that is. And 2.5 minutes for 700 million twice a day is a joke, right? Like, it's a piece of cake. And so like, a ton of people are logging in for this. I'm actually curious if they're going to roll it back, like tone it down now that adventurers are doing this.
I feel like it's not even that OP. Yes, the active one, but like, when, okay, so how much is 700 mil over, like, let's say 8 hours, right? You do it for 700 mil in 8 hours. Yeah. I mean, I guess it is AFK, but like, active wise, that's like not, like, well, in my head, like, it's not that much, but well, it's obviously still like great for being AFK. So
yeah, you have to compare it to the other AFK activities in the game for comparison. You can't compare it to active activities. That's obnoxious. You're comparing it to the other AFK activities, like horse training. Horse training, you're gonna make like, what, 120 mil, 130 mil a night. Like, this is clearing that margin by like 4 to 5x. No one wants to horse train anymore. Ghost rags is AFK fishing.
I was mostly comparing it to the prices we have nowadays, like with like all the, like, silver is just a lot less value nowadays. Obviously, like, when we compare it to how much we're making, but yeah, 700 mil, like, nowadays, like, that used to be a lot, like, back then, right? But nowadays, it's just, I don't know. It doesn't feel OP enough to nerf, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, I think that chat brings up a good point, is that it basically is just direct raw silver instead of like any sort of player interaction on the market, which is just going to contribute to overall inflation. And that's fine. If they brought the other life skills, I think need to be brought up to task. But I'll be honest with you, I think the bigger problem with life skilling is not the AFK life skills. Like, AFK fishing has always been kind of, you know, like, it's just there. Now it's really good, obviously, but like, I would much rather them have just buffed and put some actual effort into buffing active fishing. Would have been way cooler. Like, if I could make like 500 or 600 million an hour active fishing, or even 800 mil an hour or a billion silver an hour active fishing, I think that I would have been much more hyped about an update like that. That would have been better. But like, everybody's just kind of doing this because it's like low effort. But like, I don't know. It's just really low effort stuff that we're just going to give you more. We're just going to throw more money at you. And they should do it for the other life skills too, is my point. I think it's done a good job of trying to bring players back to the game. At least some players back to the game. If we look over at the Steam charts for the category, you can see we're still really far down, and we're trending actually back down in December. November was held pretty solid. November and the previous month, November was a little bit better than September was, for sure, and October, right? But like, it says 18% increase, but we're talking 18% of 10,000 players. That's not nearly as much as what we were dealing with before. So it's a little bit deceptive. And then this month we're starting to go back down a little bit again. And so we're kind of holding steady here. It's done a good job of bringing like a few players back, and then the events have a lot to do with that as well. But I think that a lot of us are very anxiously awaiting, the Calpheon Ball is the next thing that we should probably talk about here. What do you guys think that they need to do to fix the game at the Calpheon Ball? What do you think will drive players back to the game in mass? What would make you play the game for the Calpheon Ball? Because this is a big ball. Say what you will about BDO and the previous balls that they've put on. This is the most important, I think, in the history of their game, because they lost 60% of their players since the last Calpheon Ball. And like, changes need to be made. They can't just do the same thing like they've been doing in previous years, where we get the expansion teaser, we get the new class, we get some quality of life changes, and then that's the ball. That's it, right? And then they're going to deliver it on about half of it by the time the next ball comes around. But like, this time, I do feel like that they need to make meaningful strides, or the player base continues downhill, and that's not good. So I'm curious, what would make you guys excited to play the game? We'll start with Blonde.
I don't know. I think a big thing is just having a reason to grind. For me, it's, you know, treasures. I'm literally right now getting duplicate treasures, and that's what's motivating me. It's not really too motivating going for gear for the sake of gear, but if they made things to do with that gear, which I think we've all been saying for quite a while, having like a PvE node war system, having the 100 floor dungeon, having the demon castle that you got to fight through to get deeper and deeper for, I don't know, more loot. I'm not sure. You got Altar of Blood rework, or maybe even you got Shadow Arena coming back, any kind of content like that. So you do your grinding, you get your gear, you get the gear to get to whatever you want to get to, so you can do that cool new stuff, the stuff that motivates you to play. Because grinding for the sake of grinding, you know, is good until you're bored and then you're done. So,
okay.
It's gotta be something. Yeah, gotta be something. Need something to do, right?
Yep. Jay?
I mean, what initially drove me away from BDO, like, slowly, was just, okay, it started with probably when Olin's 2 released, because that was, like, such a big disappointment for me that we literally just got the same thing, and then we just kept getting the same thing over and over. So, again, just, like, to piggyback off of Blonde about, like, the new stuff, right? Like, the Demon Lands, that 100-floor dungeon, like, more things to do. Another thing that, like, for me personally, maybe I'm borrowing a lot from TNL, but at the same time, I've been talking about this in the podcast for so long. It's just like more, just like different skill things, right? Like different things to change up the gameplay of the combat system. Because for me, like, the biggest thing in BDO, what made me play BDO continually for the last 6 years was the combat system, and it's amazing. It's just, I feel like it needs like something to spice it up. It's just everybody's kind of like playing the same kit. I guess maybe for balance purposes that might be a lot easier, but it's been I feel like you could use some shake up on like all that stuff. And so I would love to see more different skill specialization things you could do to tailor to a more like different play style than some, like, let's say somebody's playing Wusa. I'd like to play like maybe a different role to Wusa. Maybe there's like a support Wusa or something like that, etc., etc. So
yeah, I think that if I would generally agree. I think if they're going to bring players back that they lost, there's two approaches that they can take with the Galvion Ball. And that's why I'm interested to see. If they want to bring the players back that they lost, well, then they have to fix PvP. It needs to be a node war. Like, they need to scrap the entire node war system and bring us a new system, right, that brings people together, or just add a system to the game that brings people together to play. And it is not the new hardcore servers, but we'll talk about that in a second. An open world PvP needs to be addressed in some way, whether it be a complete rework of the open world PvP system, or hardcore servers are actually good, and then that's what brings people open world PvP. That, if you want to bring players back, that's the best way to do it. In addition to, you know, the steps that they've taken towards the progression system have been kind of all right. I think the biggest thing that drove people away is their changes to PvP, and I think that that's what would bring a lot of players back to the game. I think that if they want to attract a new audience, they want to say, okay, those old players that left the game before, that veteran core, those are not our players anymore. We don't want them to play our game anymore. We don't want those toxic people playing our game anymore. They can go in a different direction with it. So don't look at PvP. And you need to give us a tremendous amount of PvE content. The 100 floor dungeon we know is coming with the next expansion, or at least they said it was going to come with the next expansion, which should be the Mountain of Eternal Winter Part 2. Sure, the 100 floor dungeon is okay. That's not nearly enough to keep players engaged. I'm just going to be honest. Yes, players will play that and it'll be kind of fun, but like, I don't think that that's going to be enough to really keep players playing long term and in a big cycle. So like, it needs to be dungeons, raids, boss blitz, like the 100 floor dungeon, group grind zones, like all of it. It all, like, they need to literally just start to shitting out PvE content like crazy if that's the direction that they're gonna go, right? Because right now BDO is in a horrible position where like they can't attract new players and the old players don't want to come back because they're upset, quite frankly, with the way that the developers have kind of moved their game. And so, like, no one is going to come back unless you make changes one way or the other. Either abandon the old player base or invest in the new player base, but you can't stay where you're at right now. We're kind of in a middle ground here.
Hmm.
All right, Jay, I thought you had something to add, so I stopped talking.
So I was, like, thinking... so, okay. Have you played PoE before?
Or oh god, here we go.
Like PoE 1?
I've never played PoE 1 before, but I am hard in on PoE 2. I spent $500 on the big supporter pack. I can't wait. It's going to be awesome.
Oh, you bought the big supporter pack?
Oh, I did. Yeah, I'm going huge. I'm going fat on it.
But
anyway.
I was going to say, I really like the way they do the content loop in PoE, where like every like 3 or 4 months, they have this like new season with like a new mechanic of some sort. And I don't know if they could maybe incorporate that sort of idea, like along those guidelines in the video, where let's say the whole region like somehow has like a different theme for every, you know, for the grinding for that season or whatever, right? Like things are like influenced by certain things. Like maybe everything is influenced by Zarka. Everybody's like all the mobs are a little bit Zarka themed. They drop like Zarka specific loot or whatever. And then the next season rolls by and then it's like a different theme and whatnot. And then you get these, like, I don't know, you could, it might not just be like gear wise. It just might be like cosmetic stuff, right? Like you can get like cool cosmetics because you participated in that season and then it's exclusive to that season or whatnot because you were there or something. And maybe, you know, that content loop of every 3-4 months, there's something new for you to grind for. And at the end, like you get these cool cosmetics. Maybe that's a way to get people hyped like every few months and come back. Cause like have you ever looked at the Steam numbers for PoE? It's like literally like a valley, like up and down, up and down, up and down at the start of a season. Like literally everyone's playing. Then 2 weeks later, it like slowly starts to dip down until the next season and then repeat. And then it's like very consistent in that way. And maybe BDO could do something similar to that.
I think that they've gone in a different direction with their monetization cycle though. You notice BDO does not follow the same cycle. A lot of MMOs that we haven't mentioned, like World of Warcraft, huge peaks on expansion releases and then massive valleys between expansions, right? Most MMOs work this way. BDO is not like this. Yes, we get a big peak for the expansion. So like it's not nearly as pronounced. It's like, okay, we get a bump in players and then it goes back down. And it's got a relatively high retention rate between expansions. Mm-hmm. And that's because of the long-term grindiness of the game. It does a great job of kind of retaining players between content releases. And I think that players really enjoy that. I think that for them to shift towards a really heavy content release cycle that really only has people logging in when new content gets released, I think that that would be a wildly dramatic shift compared to what they're normally used to. And I think they would probably lose money on it overall. Because like there'd be less and less people playing between expansions. Buying the Kron stuff.
So what you're saying is that they need a $500 supporter pack for me. Just kidding.
I'm just going to say it. No one's buying the $500 supporter pack for Perlabis right now because no one has any faith that the developers will actually fix the game. PoE, people will buy the $500 supporter pack because they have faith that the developers will fix the game. Even if they release something bad, they have faith that the developers will listen to the player base. If Perlabis released a $500 supporter pack tomorrow, nobody's buying that pack with the faith that the developers are changing the game. Maybe you would buy it for a cosmetic or something they would send you, but it's just the truth. Like the faith that we've had in our development team for the previous 6 years has been obliterated over the last 8 to 10 months. Like, it's just gone. And so like they have to build that trust back with the players, especially when you look over at one of their primary competitors. You're looking at Throne and Liberty. Somehow Throne and Liberty's developers listen to their players, right? You look over at Path of Exile, which is actually a competitor to BDO for sure. A lot of BDO players play Path of Exile. And I think that a lot more players play PoE than Throne and Liberty. I think that there was a good amount of the player base for BDO that actually didn't like Throne and Liberty, hate the game, still hate it, whatever. Right. But I think that there's a pretty large chunk of the player base of BDO actually does love PoE and they play the expansion pretty much every time it comes out. And I think that PoE 2 releasing actually probably has a greater impact on the BDO player base than TNL did. Mm-hmm. TNL, I don't think, had a crazy impact on the player base of BDO. It was like it dipped, but it was already on the way down. So like it didn't. And then like, TNL hype died, but we didn't see those players return to BDO again. Right. Like. So, like, it didn't really have too much of a crazy impact on the players or on the player base for BDO, but I think PoE might. And I think that, again, the players' faith in the developers is shaken. And I do think that everyone would come back to play the game if the developers went in the correct direction with it. But, you know, time will tell. What I actually think is going to be at the ball, and you guys can correct me on my if I'm wrong. I think here's what the Galvion ball is, okay? It's the new expansion, right? Like the teaser,
let's right? go.
It's a Surely. New expansion teaser. We'll get it in the first half or the second half of next year, whatever, right? New class, sure. Yeah, we already know that that's a thing. And then we're going to get quality. We're going to get the hardcore servers. We're going to get an update on that, okay? And then we're going to get the quality of life changes talked about that is never going to happen, okay? So, like, last year, I went through line by line of everything they promised us from the quality of life changes. I'd say we got about 50% of it. If it was a test I gave it to a student, they would have failed. They literally gave us about 50% of it. They did deliver on the big ticket items like the expansion, the class, and whatnot. But like they didn't give us most of the quality of life changes. And especially like they spent like 20 or 30 minutes at the ball talking about like these guild changes. They were going to do all this hashtags and they're going to rework guild missions and this dragon is going to come and all this shit. None of that stuff.
What happened to the dragon?
Yeah, exactly. We've seen it at two balls now. It doesn't exist. Right.
Where's
this
the
doesn't
whiteboard?
Exist. Right. Yeah, it doesn't exist. So like, I think that this is the ball. And I think that if this is the ball and this is their plan to the ball, the game is cooked. I think the game will be in a really bad spot because the hardcore servers are going to tank really hard. The way they have them like described, I think that the hardcore servers are going to be terrible, like a horrible experience. There's going to be a leaderboard and there's going to be nothing to do other than to go around and kill each other. And I think that players will try it for a little while, but there's not enough PvP players to really make the hardcore servers super active. And if there's nothing to grind for to bring the PvEers over, it's not going to matter. It's just going to completely flop for 100 reasons that I've already explained. New class, cool, but like I said, most controversial class in BDO history. I think it will drive players from the game, and then it'll bring some hype to the game too. But like, they will lose some players for introducing a class like that to the game. And then the new expansion is like, okay, well, we expect that, right? So, like, it's not really anything crazy outside the norm. And if this is all they deliver, I think it's cooked. I think that they need to deliver on some crazy shit that we're not expecting. Not some, oh, we're finally going to give you gear presets that we promised a year and a half ago. Nope. You need to deliver a mean, mean surprise. You know what I mean? Like, it needs to be crisp. And I'm not talking about a Crimson Desert trailer either. Like... Ugh, goodness gracious me. Now, okay, we haven't talked about Royal Workshops yet. We should do that. I kind of forgot about it, and we transitioned to something else. Royal Workshops. Go ahead.
I thought it was disappointing. It's just literally the node system, but like, it's a node system. I thought it was going to be something deeper and more
it's
like
the crafting system,
involved, but it's very passive and. The like OP food that you get is like what, like 0.3% or something like that, and
yep,
yeah. Anyways,
0.3% a day, by the way, which means
and
because it refreshes every day.
True.
Yeah. I'm curious, Blonde. What's your thoughts on it? You haven't spoken in a while.
The foundations are pretty good for what could be a better system, but I think it is pretty underwhelming. It feels like you took a node and then just put nodes inside a node, and then you said, hey, we got all this cool stuff you can get from it, and then they don't tell you it's like 0.1% to get when you reroll, and then you cost pearls for a second reroll every day. So I just think that it's cool foundation, but it ain't nothing crazy. I was hoping it was going to be like more of an active playing system. You know, you're managing your workers, sending deliveries, going back and forth, doing this. And unfortunately, it ain't none of that. It's pretty basic, but it could be the foundation for a more advanced system. But that's, you know, to hoping.
I think that they took a system in the game that's been outdated and they tried to reintroduce it because there's no veteran players playing anymore. I think that they were hoping that players would just not know that they reintroduced the same thing twice. So when we started playing the game a long time ago, veteran players in the audience can remember this. We used to make like functional clothes for cooking and alchemy and fishing. And this was a great way to make money. Or you would go out and gather on rhinos and you would make Grunil. It was another great way to make a lot of money, right? People would craft stuff. So it's basically just that crafting system, but worse. Right. So like this is literally your workers are going out and doing all the gathering for you. And then you're making the production. You're just making these random materials that are going to make you silver. So in a roundabout way, it's very similar to the crafting system we used to have, which, by the way, is still in the game. And it has not received an update in 7 years since I started playing. It's been the same. I mean, there's refineries. You guys ever seen the cost of a Blackstone in a refinery? Let's see.
Isn't that like Blackstone powder or something like that?
Oh no, here, hold on. I need a level 3 refinery? Yeah, let's take a look at this. So in a level 3 refinery, you can actually make Blackstones. You can craft them. Do you know how much Blackstone costs? It costs 200 Blackstone powder, 3 Tyrant's blood, and 2 Oil of Fortitude to make one Blackstone. Man. Okay, that's how f***ing outdated this system is. Okay, this is wild. To make Blackstone powder requires 30 rough stone. Insanely outdated. You can't be a crafter anymore. You can't be a producer anymore. The only reason to AFK process anymore is to basically sell the materials on the market or do... You can do trade crates, but nobody really does that either anymore. So they just process the materials and then they sell them right back to the marketplace again. That's usually what people do. And like all of that is gone. And instead we got this garbage new system that is super predatory. It, by the way, I accidentally refreshed my thing like for Pearl. Like I was trying to figure out how the system works so I could make my guide. Right. And so I refreshed it once and then I went to go to put the worker to work. And I accidentally clicked on the refresh thing instead of like the worker to like start his revolutions on the thing. And I was like, oh, and I tried to hit escape to get away. And I accidentally hit, like another button and it hit enter and it took 50 pearls from my account. So I put in a support 50? Ticket. Yep. Took 50 pearls. And I put in a support ticket and I was like, hey, I accidentally did this. Here's the Twitch clip of it happening. It was clearly unintentional. I did not want this. Please give me my pearls back. And do you know what Pearlbus said? Nope.
Mm-mm.
Nope. You can't have it. That's our money now. Nope. We're horrible human beings. Yep. It is without a doubt the most predatory life skill and system that I have seen added to the game in my history of the game, without question. Because you can refresh it as many times as you want for 50 pearls. And you have like a 0.1% chance of getting the really, really good like buffs that you want. So like it's bit, and you only get one refresh a day, by the way, that is not paid, which means that you are sitting there like once a day, you have like a 0.1 or 0.3% chance to roll it to the thing that you actually want to do this for. Okay. And this is one time a day, 365 days a year. That means once in the next like 2.5 years, you'll land on it, right? Like maybe a few times a year, realistically, because you have all four going, right? You have a chance at all four of them. Like maybe realistically, you're going to get it a few times a year, but like you're not talking about a crazy amount of money here. This is like a 30-minute buff, basically, or a couple hour buff.
Sell for
like,
that much on the market.
Yeah, right? Like it's really not even that great. I mean, it's a great buff, but like when it's that rare, it doesn't make any fucking sense. So like, it's a super predatory system. They scam players out of their money. They're a horrible company for doing this. Like, I think that this is just a horrible thing to do, especially when like a player like me who did it on accident and like literally put in a support ticket. I have a clip. I have a recording of me doing it. I was trying to show new players how to do it. If I can accidentally do that and have them literally steal my US dollars from me, you guarantee that other players accidentally are going to do the same thing. This is so predatory. It's awful, right? It's miserable.
I think how they should do it is it's a guarantee to craft the food eventually after like, I don't know, a week. And then if you roll lucky, you can make it in less than a week. Or if you roll unlucky, you can make it, you know, you make it one, like a little bit more than a week. And instead of the pearls, I feel like, so however many resets you have, let's say, if you, instead of pearls, it should be like, if you have a value pack, you could just roll like twice extra or like three times extra or something like that, instead of just having the pearls. And then I guess that would be tying it into pearls. Technically, if you have a value pack, you could just roll a little bit more instead of infinitely for 50 pearls.
Yeah, bro. Like, it's just too predatory for me. Like, I'm doing it, but like, and I have it all set up. And I think that my guide was kind of on point for it. But yeah, I was not at all, like, it's not something that's going to bring a crazy amount of players back, right? Players can do it for AFK money, but like, that's about it. I would agree with you guys. It's very lackluster for how much they tried to hype it up and how cool it could have been. I think that it kind of flopped, to be honest.
I was kind of hoping that it was going to incorporate more of the Amity system, because it's been a while since we did some Amity stuff. And so when they were talking about the Royal Workshop, about how you have to like hire workers,
yeah,
and you have
that's
to, like,
what the, yeah,
you know, bring your reputation up and stuff like that, maybe like the Amity system would have been incorporated in that way or something like that. And we still can invest energy into like random ass nodes for or whatever, and that helps with, like, I was thinking, oh, I was pre-investing into Soul, because I was thinking, oh, if I get to level 20, then I can get my Amity up with these NPCs faster. Is that how it worked? But no, it's just nothing. It was a lot less deep than I thought.
Yeah. Somebody in chat said, there's currently a bug. If you log out or disconnect, you can lose the rare craft at the moment. So that's crazy too.
Why?
If that's true. Yeah, if that's true, that's insane too. People are saying you can get 12 or 13 rolls a day, but at a 0.3% chance, you're still talking about like maybe one a year. Right. And I just think that they've just done, like, it looks kind of fun, but like it just doesn't engage you long term. It's something I did for a day, I set it up, and then we were done. Oh shit. Right, like then I don't know. I kind of min-maxed it immediately. I was really hoping for something that was like as complex as maybe like the Worker Empire, or maybe forced me to go out and do some active stuff and then like produce some stuff like Blonde said, you know, or like Jay said, it could have been a lot more than I think that it actually turned out to be. So kind of tragic.
Maybe it could have been a cool idea to have it as, I mean, maybe it could be cool, like as a group life skill. Remember we were talking about,
true. That would have been back, cool.
We were talking about how, like, let's say if there was like a group cooking, we could have that little mini game where it's like overcooked or plate up or something like that. Maybe that could have been the idea for this Royal Workshop thing, where, you know, you're doing it with your guild and you're crafting food or alchemy or whatever stuff together. Could have been a much, much different idea than we have currently, where it's essentially the same as the node system. It's just...
It would have been cool to have like a like a production thing where, like, if you and like three other players combine your resources together, you can, you know, and like you all have to produce it, and like you can work together to craft certain things. That would be a really cool way to bring people together from a life skilling standpoint.
Let's say your guild, I don't know, maybe they could have incorporated some sort of node war in Light of One Leg. You take control of a workshop, like you have to fight over the workshop. I don't know, just like throwing out ideas, but.
Yeah.
If you own that workshop, then you have access to that resource for your guild or something like that. Like you get that exclusive food buff or whatnot. I don't know.
Just a little rough. I think just a little rough on the implementation, but you know, so it didn't do as well as we were hoping. They did give kind of a use to shell folk workers, which is kind of interesting, and they brought like the worker skills kind of matter on that too. Which I talk about in my guide there, but yeah, like I said, just kind of a little bit rough. Okay, I think we've kind of run out of time here. So let's wrap it up. Give me closing thoughts. Let's go Jay first.
Clothing
thoughts.
Closing thoughts is that I'm excited for the new class, and I can't wait for Calpheon Ball because I'm patiently waiting for something to happen to my beloved game that I've been playing for 6 years, please. And yeah, and I will also be playing a lot of PoE 2 when that comes out on December 6th. So you can find me over at twitch.tv/JakenVT, V before the T.
Right on, and Blonde.
Listen, I'm excited. We're getting the dwarf with the gun. The shotgun's going to be Ascension. No Awakening. It's going to be fun. Everything's going to flow into each other. You can be beep, 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 pew. I can't wait. It's going to be great.
And he likes
that's
the
it. No shout out. I was going to say, like, no shout
party.
Out for your. Yeah, no shout out for your gun. Twitch.tv/blondemare, nothing. All right, fine. That's fine. All right. And what were your favorite outfits here?
The cowboy one.
There was no cowboy. Oh my God. All right. Realistically, Jay, what was your favorite outfit and why was it the Shies?
It's definitely the one next to the Shy.
The Dosa.
The one dancing.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. Wait, that guy's family name is MB Doga.
Oh.
Make BDO great again. That's insane.
Wait, what?
That guy's family name is Make Video Great Again.
I didn't put that together. Why?
God, that's amazing. I love it. I love that.
Sure, that's what it stands for.
Yes, dude. It's like the MAGA thing, like Make America Great Again. It says it's Make BDO Great Again. It's just MBDOGA. Yeah. That's insane. I love it. I love it. Blonde, who is your favorite person? Realistically.
It's the one next to the purple girl. The one to the left of the purple girl.
You mean the pot?
The thick one?
What purple the girl? Pot? There's no purple. Oh, you mean this purple. Oh,
there's a purple.
Oh, you mean... Oh, you mean... Those. Yeah. That
oh,
makes
two
sense.
Of them.
That makes sense. Yeah, there are two. Yeah, that's how it works. My favorite's actually this pink one right here. I like her. Her face is great. This character model is really good. Plus, I think that's the new outfit. I'm pretty sure that's the new outfit. Looks really good. I love that. It looks amazing. Well, from all of us here at the Old Moon Podcast, remember, guys, you can catch us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts as well as my YouTube video. The podcast usually goes out right after this. We try to do the podcast every single week, so check us all out. There's two new YouTube videos every single week on my channel. Make sure you comment so that we know what to talk about in the next podcast, what you agreed with, what you didn't agree with. Subscribe, like. I love you guys. See you in the next one.